we're trying to keep the sheep fed, and we herd them every day. And I told her it's their responsibility to bring us food, and they're not doing it. They're drinking somewhere. And tomorrow when we take the sheep out, we come back in the afternoon. I said, we're going to butcher one of those sheep. She said, no. I said, yes, we are, Grandma. We're not going to starve to death.
Steigutay, welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. On today's program, we'll hear from a Navajo woman who grew up in difficult circumstances, but it was in those hard times that she learned to survive.
Hello, my name is Janet Martinez. I'm a Navajo Indian from the Navajo Reservation. Though I'm in Oklahoma now and working and having a family here, my thoughts are always back to the childhood that I have had on the reservation. I have two brothers and one sister that I grew up with. And my father was the fifth generation of medicine man. My two brothers never took up the trade. So he was the end of the medicine man in our generation. My mother was a high school graduate and was attending a nursing school when my aunt got sick and she had to return home. She was one of two children of my grandmother who was a deaf mute. So that's how my father and mother met. He was married to my aunt, and since she came back and started taking care of my oldest brother, I don't know, we never thought of him as a cousin. We've always said, you know, we were all brothers and sisters. We never made that distinction between the family. But she had returned home, and she died of tuberculosis. My mother and dad got together like that, taking care of the one son that he's had. And eventually they had gotten together and had the three of us, which we grew up on the reservation. Like I said, my two older brothers and my sister went to a private school on the reservation. They called it Ganado Mission. But my family always, well, especially my dad, he always wanted me around. He didn't want me to leave. He said the three kids had gone on to a private school, but this is my last daughter. Let me just keep her at home. So my mother had agreed, and I went to Ganado High School. Ganado is a little bitty town, probably about 10 miles or 15 miles from St. Michael's. And it was a public school, but when I was about 6 years old, when I first started kindergarten, because my aunt had died of tuberculosis, my mother had caught the tuberculosis, and also my grandmother. And so they were sent to Colorado Springs for 2 years to the sanatorium to get well and come back. And she made that sacrifice for my sister and I to go to that boarding school. All we did were, we were housed there, and then we were bused. After the 2 years, she was cured, and she came back to the reservation, and we went back with our father and went to the public school. We moved closer to the highway, which we were walking like about 8 miles to the highway to catch the bus. During the wintertime, that was a real trying time for us. And so we moved closer to the highway, which was like a quarter of a mile off the highway we moved to. And we continued to go to Ganado. I graduated from Ganado High School. But all during this time that I was going to school and in my teenage years, my mother didn't drink, but my father was an alcoholic. I remember him times coming home and beating up my mom and pour wine on her head because she wouldn't drink it. And it was a very scary time for my sisters and I. And somehow, sometimes she would get away and she'd take the two of us, and we'd run away and stay in the woods and kind of just huddle together and freeze and till he went to sleep or he passed out or, you know, or just gone, went somewhere, and we'd come home. And it was difficult childhood that we've had, but still my mother didn't drink, and so that was good for us. But for some reason she started drinking when I was about 8 years old. First she had a couple beers, and it just graduated. By the time I graduated from high school, she was a full-blown alcoholic. I mean, it just took everything from our home. And they were never home. When during the summertime, when we were out of school, I would have to herd sheep with my deaf-mute grandmother. We were out there weeks at a time, and they would never return home. They'd go on a drunk, and they'd never come home. And there was times that we just practically ran out of food. And so I told my grandmother one day, I was about probably 10 or 11. I said, we're just out of food. And she had melted some grease and some lard in a little pan, and she put salt in it. And she and I had a piece of bread, and we just dip our bread in the mixture, and that was what we had for dinner. So I told her, I said, no, Grandma, tomorrow, you know, we had our own sign language. So I said, Grandmother, tomorrow we're not going to go hungry. We're going to kill one of those sheep. And she said, oh, no, you can't do that, because your mom and dad will be mad at us. And I said, no, because that's what we heard. That's what we're out here doing. We're trying to keep the sheep fed, and we herd them every day. And I told her, it's their responsibility to bring us food, and they're not doing it. They're drinking somewhere. And tomorrow when we take the sheep out, we come back in the afternoon. I said, we're going to butcher one of those sheep. She said, no. I said, yes, we are, Grandma. We're not going to starve to death. So the next day we took the sheep out, brought them back. Sure enough, I told her, we're going to take one of those lambs, the one-year-old lambs. And I said, that's what we're going to kill. And we did. And I didn't know how to butcher. I've just seen people do it. I helped my mom and dad butcher a sheep. But so my grandmother and I, we butchered that sheep. And I don't know how we did it, but we were having a hot meal when my mom and dad showed up. And they said, what are you guys doing? And I said, well, you guys are always on a drunk. And I said, I'm tired of just eating nothing. I mean, just practically nothing. I said, yesterday, Grandma and I said, we melted lard and put salt in it and dip our bread in it. And I said, that's no way to live. And I said, I made this choice to do it. But they never got after me. And I guess in their heart, they knew that they were doing wrong. But after I grew up, I graduated from high school. And all I wanted to do was get off the reservation. I have no idea why, but in my father's teaching, he always sat in the evening and taught us, you know, talked to us about morals and ethics and, you know, what to do, how to act, and, you know, just everyday thing. And we'd sit down and he'd talk to me, and he'd always say, whatever you do, you need to get an education. This reservation is not going to be here forever. And if it is still a reservation, there's not going to be hardly anything here for kids like you that grow up and know English and Navajo. And there's going to be hardly any jobs. And what can you do here? He said, you need to get an education. You need to do something with your life. At that time, he realized he was an alcoholic. He says, look at me. He said, all I do is pick up my VA check, and all we do is drink it up. And what's left, we'll wait for the next paycheck. And he said, that's no way to live. And as a medicine man, he always told me, he said, you know, there's other religion other than our religion and this Christianity. And he said, I don't know where to contact anybody about Christianity, but I just know that no matter what it is, no matter where you are, that you pray. There's nothing wrong with praying. And if you take Christianity, I don't hold that against you. It's a good thing that they do. They have their own teaching, and that he thought since I was getting off the reservation that might be something I would think about, but I sure didn't. I went to Dallas, took up keyboarding. At that time, computer was just coming in. I went for keyboard operator, and I got through school. I think it was like a year's school. I finished it in 6 months. And all this time, I wasn't a Christian. Never went to church. There was Mormons that were on the reservation that only picked us up so we could go play basketball or softball for the team. But I never got interested in what they had to say. I just did it just so I could have something to do. And when I got to Dallas, it was a very scary sight. It was huge change from the reservation. We got on the bus to go downtown the first day of school. My sister was there for 6 months before I was, and we got on that bus, and I hung on for dear life downtown. That thing was moving so fast, and I was telling my sister, why don't they slow this down? He said, this is how they drive here. That's just the way it is. You'll get used to it. And of course, I did get used to it. As soon as I got I graduated from that school, I got a job. And keyboard operator was not my thing. I mean, we sat there like assembly workers, you would say. They would say when to start, when your break is, when your lunch is, you get back. And you just sat there all day. And I said, no, this is not for me. I can't do this. And so I told my sister, I said, you know, I think I'll go to the military. And she said, oh, no, you can't do that. Mom won't let you. And I said, well, Mom's not here. I said, this keyboard operator, it's not agreeing with me. I can't sit there all day and key and key and key. And I said, it's not a fulfilling life for me. So I called the Air Force, and they weren't in. I called the Navy, they weren't in. And I didn't want to go to the Army, so I called the Marine Corps. And she said, when do you want to take the test? And I said, well, what about this afternoon? That was like on a Tuesday. So she come by and she bought us pizza and went ahead and took the test. And she called me back the next day and she says, oh, you passed. When would you like to go? And I said, how about Friday?
Well, it's not hard to tell that Janet was an ambitious young woman, and she certainly wasn't afraid to take matters into her own hands when needed. You won't want to miss the rest of her story. Do you know anyone who's ambitious? They're not going to just sit around when things aren't right or when something needs to be done. That reminds me of God. He wasn't content to leave us in our fallen state and abandon us to what our sins deserve. No, he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to rescue us by giving his very life so that we could be forgiven, have hope, and ultimately live forever with him. Jesus himself said, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Want to know more? Visit our website withoutreservation.com and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. Missed a program or want to listen again? You can download our app and take the Storyteller with you. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there's more to Janet's story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.